All right, you guys. I love watching y'all do that. It's so cool. And just knowing that it's going to help. It really does. It's going to bear fruit in our lives. Now, we started the book of Acts this year. And as I ran into Acts 2:42, I slowed down into a series called Ingredients for a Healthy Church. And now I got to a word called prayer. And now it seems like I'm doing a series on prayer. But that's what happens when you let the Lord lead. I don't have like a set plan. I'm just saying, Lord, show me what you want to teach. Amen? Isn't that a good way to do it? Right? So, and how many know that prayer is good? Right? You know that we're here because of prayer. Someone prayed for us, and that's why we're here. And someone's still praying for us. That's why we're still here and still going to church. Well, if you'll look at the notes I gave y'all, you can see where we've been. We've been filling in the blanks, talking about what prayer is, the types of prayer, faith, the prayer of faith, corporate prayer, prayer supplication, thanksgiving, worship, consecration. All these are so important. Intercession, we just finished that last week. And today, because we're doing communion at the end, I'm going to do one more blank. And that's number 12, praying in the Spirit. So you can fill in the word Spirit. And that's all you have to fill in today. So those of you that don't like to do a lot of classwork, you got your A if you put in Spirit. I'm a sixth grade teacher. If you're wondering why I talk like that, I teach math and science when I'm not studying this. And that's been a lot of fun lately because my kids are all ready for summer. And they're ready. They thought math was over at the end of testing, but it's still going on. So I'd like to pray before I start speaking a prayer. Lord, I thank you for your Holy Spirit that opens our mind to understand your word. I pray that you'll illuminate the word, that you'll shine your light on it. It's a lamp unto our feet. And show us, Lord, how we can apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. So, let's open up the book of Romans 8. The book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 26 and 27 to start. Romans is right after Acts and before you get to Corinthians. Romans 8. It says in Romans 8, 26 to 27, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Sometimes we don't know what to pray. We just need to start praying. And if we ask the Holy Spirit, He will show us what to pray. Sometimes, in fact, He'll pray things through us that we don't even understand. But first of all, let me talk about the part about what to pray. I haven't told this story in a while, and it encourages me to remember it. But when I was with Youth of the Mission in Hawaii, we would go to Hotel Street in the poor part of Honolulu on a Friday night to go witness to the pimps and the hookers and the people on the streets. And they would take our white van, and we would just get dropped off, and then we would walk and pray. And we left a team back at the base in Honolulu up behind University of Hawaii in Manoa Valley, which is just gorgeous. If you've ever been there, every afternoon is like double, triple rainbows. You know, you could ride your bike down to the beach. Well, it was easy going down, but harder coming back. Anyway, so we're back there. The team's back there praying for us, and now they're praying for us and interceding for us, right? And not knowing what to pray. And we're on the street and we're talking. There's this one prostitute who has AIDS. And she gathered the team around her and said, y'all pray for me. She didn't say y'all because it's in Honolulu. Said you guys or something. But I need prayer, right? And then, so there's like 10 people praying for this one prostitute. And I just got quickened in my spirit. Like, you know, the devil is trying to distract us from something else. Because we're all on this one person, and so that means we're less effective. And I told some of the guys on my team, I said, I think there's something else down the street. Let's start walking. So as we're walking, we're praying and we're wondering what's going to come up. Okay, and then back at the base, they're praying for us. And they get a picture in the spirit of a guy in a bar who's desperate. He's depressed. He wants to end his life. He gets to a big fight, gets kicked out of the bar. And so they're praying for this guy as we're walking down the street. So we're praying, they're interceding. The Lord's giving them something to pray for. And we go down the street a few blocks, and there's a guy sitting on the steps. And I said, hey there, do you know Jesus? He said, no, who is he? Tell me who he is. And it was this guy. He had been in a bar. He was flunking University of Hawaii. He was desperate. He wanted to end his life. And he's sitting on the steps not knowing what to do. And that's the guy that they were praying for. And we met him. And we led him to Jesus. He said, yes, I want to believe in Jesus. I'm desperate. I don't know where to go. I do believe that he died for me and rose again. And I want to give him my life. And this guy named Eddie, who I now call Ready Eddie, gave his heart to Jesus. And it all happened because of the dovetail of prayers. Isn't that cool? I mean, look at your neighbor and go, that's pretty crazy. Yeah, I mean, even for us, like, really, y'all saw him in the Spirit and we met him? I mean, that's cool. That's the Holy Spirit at work through prayer, through intercession, through praying in the Spirit. And just like Romans 8 here, the Spirit will show us what we need to pray. The Spirit will show us what to pray. It's good to sit there in your quiet time and say, Lord, what do you want me to pray for? What do you want me to know? Today he may say, love your mom. That's pretty timely. Oftentimes it's very simple. It could be more elaborate, like this situation. Sometimes you'll intercede, and I have the gift of tongues. And I remember when I lived in Palos Verdes in the 90s, I went hiking up to the end of a trail overlooking the ocean over there on the hill. And I just started praying in the Spirit, in the tongues, and I'll get more to that in a minute. And I had a picture of an old woman in a black shawl. And as I was praying for her in the Spirit, interceding for her, and I just began weeping on the end of this trail over there. I thought, that is so strange. But it's something that God was doing in me. And I have never forgotten it ever since. That happened in like 1992. And every time I get to a message like this or get to this part of the text, I'm reminded of what God did that day. And I have no idea what happened. But God wants to use us to touch people around the world. Did you know that? That prayer is not stopped by mileage. Think about that. We can be praying for somebody on the other side of the world right now and have impact. We already are having an impact right here as a church because the money that comes into this church, we're supporting missionaries around the world. We heard about that last week. But we can also impact missionaries by praying for them, protection. We never know when somebody's going to be in a dire situation overseas right now, and you'll be prompted to pray for them in the Spirit as the Lord leads. In those times, the Spirit Himself will make intercession for us. And I know this seems mysterious to us because in America, everything has to be empirical. Everything has to be tried and tested. You take it in a lab and you repeat it and you do your scientific investigation, right? And it's hard to do that with the Spirit, isn't it? But one way we can find out is by praying and see if there was an answer. That's our scientific investigation. I'm reading a book called Case for Miracles by Lee Strobel right now, and he's interviewing a skeptic. I haven't gotten that far in the book, so I've been really busy. But, you know, they're talking about how do you prove a miracle? And I'll get to that next part, okay, in the book. Because everybody's looking for evidence. Well, I see evidence, first of all, is here we are sitting on the beach on Sunday morning, many of us that didn't used to go to church, and that's a miracle in itself, and that's an answer to prayer. Amen? That's evidence. And the Spirit testifies to our spirit that we're a child of God. And no one can take that away from us. Sometimes We don't know what we're praying. There was a mother that was concerned about her kindergarten son, Timmy, walking to school. He didn't want his mother to walk with him. Remember that, walking to school when you're a kid, right? She wanted to give him the feeling that he had some independence, but yet know that he was safe. Her neighbor learned about the mother's dilemma and offered to follow the young boy to school in the mornings, staying at a distance so he probably wouldn't notice her. I'm up early with my toddler anyway. It'll be a good way for us to get some exercise as well, said the neighbor. The relieved mother agreed. The next school day, the neighbor and her little girl set out following behind Timmy as he walked to school with another neighbor boy he knew. She did this for the whole week. Anybody ever had their mom follow him to school? Well, as the boys walked and chatted, kicking stones and twigs, Timmy's little friend noticed the same lady was following them as she seemed to do every day all week. Finally, he said to Timmy, "Have you noticed that lady following us to school all week? Do you know her?" Timmy nonchalantly replied, "Yeah, I know who she is." The friend said, "Well, who is she?" "That's just Shirley Goodness," Timmy replied, "and her daughter, Marcy." "Shirley Goodness? What the heck is she and why is she following us?" "Well," Timmy explained, "every night my mom makes me say the 23rd Psalm with my prayers because she worries about me so much. And in the Psalm it says, 'Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.' So I guess I'll just have to get used to it." The kid definitely wasn't sure what he was praying for. Oh, I thought that was funny. So, let's look at the Bible so we'll know more about prayer life, right? I mean, how are we going to know about it unless we look in our owner's manual? Who has their owner's manual? Take it out of the glove compartment, right? Basic instructions before leaving Earth. It won't do much good afterwards, right? So let's find out what it says in 1 Corinthians 14:14. 1 Corinthians 14, just past Romans. Just keep going down the road there. 1 Corinthians 14:14. It says, actually, in 13, it says, "Therefore, let one who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful." And then 15 says, "What is the outcome then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with my mind also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with my mind also." We are encouraged to pray in the spirit. And this is a mysterious thing, to pray in tongues. One time, and I've said this story again, it encourages me to say it again, and it fits this so well. At the bridge, when I was pastor over there in El Segundo, one of the ladies came to me, and her son was in the hospital. He has Down syndrome, he had pneumonia, he was on a ventilator, and they were considering taking him off the ventilator. And what happens when you take someone off the ventilator? He dies, right? Because they can't breathe on their own. And she looked at me and she said, "Ross, will you come to the hospital? A lot of people have been praying." She said, "I want you to pray over my son in the spirit." Just specifically in the spirit. So I drove to the hospital in Torrance, went into his room. He's in there on the ventilator. And I just started praying in tongues by faith, not even really understanding. And it's a weird thing. I mean, tongues is a weird thing. How many know what I'm talking about, right? So I'm praying over him in the spirit. And you know what? God healed him. They took him off the ventilator and he went home. I mean, what more proof do you need? I mean, it was a combination of me and Pastor Scott and Pastor Rob. Everybody had been going there all week. But his mother wanted me specifically to come pray over him in the spirit. And after that, he got healed. I don't know exactly how or why. I just know it's part of the process. Amen? So if you look at this text here, it's really interesting to understand the whole thing about praying in tongues. If you go back to the beginning, verse 1 says, "Pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy." Prophecy is the greatest gift you can have, but tongues is still important, as you can see in my story. "For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands. But in his spirit he speaks mysteries." Exactly. But one who prophesies speaks to men for edification and exhortation and consolation. Now this is important. Verse 4, one who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. So there's a place in praying in the Spirit by yourself. I do it often on the way to church on Sunday mornings to build myself up in the Holy Spirit. If you look at Jude, remember that song, Hey Jude? Well, this is a different Jude. Okay. Would you look at this? Let's see, Jude 20. Right before Revelation. Says, you beloved, look at this, you got to read this. You beloved, Jude 20. It's the last book before Revelation. You beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. How do we become ready for this life to serve God? How do we become ready to love? We talk about that often here. We need power to love people. We cannot love people on our own. We are selfish people. Look at your neighbor and say, yeah, that's right. We need the Holy Spirit. The purpose of tongues and praying in the Spirit is to pray for people, as I told about Chris, but also to build us up. And it's not a selfish thing. This is to build us up so that we won't be selfish. It'll build us up so that we will love people, that we will be more full of Jesus. May He increase and may we decrease. Right? Remember, Jesus lives in you. If you're a believer, the Holy Spirit lives in you. Christ in us, our hope and glory. That's a trip when I think about that. Wow, He's like in me. He's in you too. But that's what makes us different. That's what makes us do things differently. So if we pray in tongues, it edifies us. The one who prophesies in verse 4 edifies the whole church. And then in verse 5, Paul says, now I wish that you all spoke in tongues. There it is. He really wishes we all did it because it will strengthen us. This is an ingredient for a healthy church. And our church is not real Pentecostal. We're not up here praying in tongues. I've been into churches where they're all doing that. But you know what? That's not an orderly way to use tongues. So it's something you have to do on your own with a friend to investigate. I know Pastor Zach at Hope Chapel was laying in his bed one day and all of a sudden he felt this urge and this unknown language came out of his mouth. He didn't even know what it was. So he went to the library to find out what happened to him. That's authentic. And it can be a language, a true language, for the purpose of ministering to somebody if there's an interpretation. The guy Smith Wigglesworth that I've been reading about, he actually would interpret his own tongue, which, you know, is wild. I wasn't there. I just have to trust what I'm reading, right? But I do know that Jack Hayford, who helped lead the Four Square Church, was on the airplane one time, and God gave him a word in a tongue for the guy sitting next to him, and it was in the language of the guy sitting next to him, and he read his mail in that language to the guy sitting next to him and led him to Jesus. So it has a purpose for the unbeliever, just like it did on Pentecost when they're all speaking in tongues in different languages of their own language that they'd come from for Passover. It spoke to them. Wow, God is in our midst. So it has its purpose of this glory, this miracle. What's going on with you? When your tongue is loosed and you're speaking a language, and remember I told y'all I investigated my own tongue. Remember that story? Where I went to a 7-Eleven and I heard a guy speaking on the telephone in my prayer language. And I actually asked the guy what I was saying. I just thought, well, I want to go see if it's for real. And he said, I've heard that dialect in India, but I don't know it. I thought, oh, wow, I've got an Indian tongue. How interesting. Maybe if I go to India sometime, I'll go to a village where they speak it and I'll be speaking their language. That'd be wild. But all this stuff it's a mystery. And Paul admits it here. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. But hey, isn't God a mystery? That Jesus made all this? He made that perfect left that spit during worship? He made that for us. This past week, I got a wave at Malibu. I was so stoked. I got like 5 cutbacks and 2 barrels, and I couldn't believe that this wave just kept going. And this guy paddled up to me and he said, "Dude, aren't you stoked?" I said, "Why?" He said, "That wave, that was crazy." And I thought, "Oh yeah, that was a good one. You mean the one I got barreled on?" He said, "Yeah, that was so good. I didn't realize it even looked good." You know, how many know it often feels better than it looks? You know what I'm talking about? So I guess it looked good too. And I said, "You know what? Isn't it cool that God made that for us? He needs to get the credit. He's thinking, well, I could make the whole world all shore breaks and closeouts, but if I put a river mouth with a point and cobblestones, they're really going to like this." Right? So who gets the glory? God. That's the whole point. And it's a mysterious thing that God knew about barrels before the world was made. And he knew that we would be enjoying those. Right? Are you tracking with me here? Or did I lose all the non-surfers? So, I really feel the Holy Spirit starting to move here, you know. No, but seriously, there's a purpose for tongues. Now, but if you come speaking in tongues, what will it profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation or knowledge or prophecy or of teaching? In verse 6 and 7, yet even lifeless things, either flute or harp, in producing a sound, if they do not produce a distinction in the tones, how will it be known what is played on the flute or on the harp? Okay, so he goes on and says, you in verse 9, unless you utter by the tongue speech that is clear, how will it be known what is spoken? For you'll be speaking into the air. So it won't help anybody just to sit here and speak in tongues out loud in an assembly, because no one knows what you're saying. It has to be done in order. Okay? So, when you pray, it says in verse 13, back to where we were a minute ago, so if you do have a tongue, pray that someone can interpret it. The interesting thing about that is, how are you going to know if someone can interpret a tongue until someone speaks in a tongue? So, at one point, a few people have to step out in faith to find out if someone can interpret it. So, if anybody feels the Holy Spirit welling up in them and wants to investigate this, at the risk of looking foolish, I will back you up and we'll see what happens. But that's what the word says here. It needs to be profitable for the assembly. And then in verse 14, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. In verse 15, what is the outcome then? I will pray with the spirit. So Paul says, well, then what am I going to do? If the tongues are not profitable in an assembly, and we need to hear what they're saying, what do I do? He says, okay, well, then I'll pray with the Spirit and I'll pray with my mind. And then I'll sing with the Spirit and I'll sing with my mind. That way I cover all my bases. You see that? That way I cover all my bases. Otherwise, if you bless in the Spirit only, verse 16, how will the one who fills the place of the ungifted say amen at your giving of thanks? Since he does not know what you're saying. For you're giving thanks well enough, but the other person's not edified. He says, I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you. See, it's important. He says, I thank God I can do it. It's important. Do not disregard it. Do not disregard it. However, in the church, I desire to speak 5 words with my mind so that I may instruct others also rather than 10,000 words in a tongue. So it's important, but it has to be done in order. And 1 Corinthians 14 and 15 is talking about orderly worship. I read this quote yesterday from Ellicott's commentary. It was really interesting, from verse 15. What is it then? What do we do then with this thing? And he says, what then is the practical conclusion of the whole matter? Still speaks in the first person, quoting his own conduct and resolution. He will not let his public ministrations as regards prayer and praise evaporate into mere enthusiasm. So in other words, we're not going to let this ability to pray in tongues or in the Spirit evaporate into this exuberant enthusiasm. And I've been in churches like that where everybody, okay, let's all just speak in tongues. If someone walked in, they think, wow, what happened to this place? What's in the Kool-Aid, right? Seriously. But nonetheless, he says, nor will he, on the other hand, allow a cold intellectual creed to chill and freeze the warm emotions in the Spirit. See, and that's what happens in the church. We swing the pendulum back to the other side where there's none at all, and now we have a dead, spiritless church. So I've been trying to do my best to allow the Spirit to move and not be so spirit crazy that we're wasting our time, but at the same time bear fruit. So either no Spirit or too much in the middle, moderation, done in order. So when you come to the front and I pray over you, you'll hear me pray in tongues for a moment, just between me and you, not in front of the whole church. And then I'll pray in English so that you can understand what I want to pray, and then I'm asking the God to pray what He wants to pray. You understand? Raise your hand if you're with me here. I mean, we just read that. I'm going to pray in the Spirit. I'm going to pray in my mind. I'm going to sing in the Spirit. You know, sometimes I'll be singing and I'll just find myself singing in this unknown language, and then I'll sing in the words of the song. Obviously, when you're alone, that's a lot easier, so you don't look foolish. And that's the best way to do it. It's a private thing. But there's a place for it. When I go to Mexico and everybody comes to the front of the church because the pastor is like all for it and we're in a building, I start praying over people and they all start falling under the Spirit and all these crazy things happen. People are happy and they're crying and they're getting healed. I thought, well, there's fruit coming from this prayer in the Spirit. And then I pray in English and they still don't understand me. It's still a foreign tongue. So then, you know, I try to pray in my Spanish the best I can, and they understand some of that. So it's all kind of praying in tongues in Mexico, but anyway. But so as far as it is, as the assembly goes, we need to use discretion. But let's not throw out the baby with the bathwater. And anyway, that would hurt the baby too, wouldn't it? So let's go back to Jude 20 for a second. Go back to Jude 20. And if you read, you know, it's really important to read the Word because then it gets in you. It gets in you. You know, one thing about teaching is when I teach what I learn, then it gets into my knower. In Texas, you know what the knower is? It's like where you don't just know it, but it's in your knower. And so now you really know it, and you know it so much that you can say it and repeat it. And we want to get this in us so that it'll be part of our life. It doesn't do us any good just to come to church and walk away. You know, I'll ask my kids on the way home, so what'd you get from the message? No. Actually, they usually come up with something. But the idea is to walk away with something and apply it to our lives. And if y'all walk away with something today, I want you to remember this. Jude 20. You, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Ask the Lord to pray through you. Ask the Lord to help you pray. Ask Him for the gift of tongues. Some people say, just say, I want to buy a Honda, want to buy a Honda, want to buy a bow tie, want to buy a bow tie. Don't do all that. Just ask the Lord to help you. I don't remember how I started. Some Pentecostal churches will have everybody line up. It's like, okay, tongues lessons, you know, after church. I trust the Lord will do it. But build yourself up in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves, here it is, keeping yourselves in the love of God. If we're kept in the love of God, our life will be different, won't it, Chris? Chris does another outreach after this one down at Dockweiler. He got so moved by what we're doing here, he goes and does another one on Sunday afternoons down there. Keeping yourselves in the love of God. So pray for him today, that God will use his family over there. Keeping yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously. It's interesting, we're not supposed to be anxious about anything, but here's one positive use of anxiousness. Waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And this last part is interesting, that it's right after this, being built up in your Holy Spirit, having mercy on some who are doubting, saving others, snatching them out of the fire, and on some having mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by flesh. So that goes into how to witness and how to evangelize after you've been filled with the Spirit. Because when you have the love of God in your life, you can't help but love people. Amen? It changes the way you act. It changes the way you act. So I'm going to stop right there today, because we're going to do communion. And next week we're going to I think we're going to end the series on prayer next week. Pray about that. But is this good stuff or what? Now, while they're getting the communion together back there, I want everybody to bow your heads, because maybe this message is tugging on your heart. And maybe you're in a place right now where I was in 1986 or even 1984, where suddenly my mom's prayers were coming to fruition and I'd reached the end of myself. I was in Isla Vista in Santa Barbara, living the party life, and I came to a place where, you know, this is not working. And maybe that's you, maybe not. Maybe your life has been great, but you realize you need God. So bow your heads, y'all, and close your eyes. And maybe this will be the day that your name gets written in the book of life. On Mother's Day 2019. To answer the call from the Father. So if that's you, raise your hand. I'd like to pray with you. I see that hand. See those hands? Awesome. Today's a day for salvation. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Open the door. Let me into your life. Let me into your life. Okay, let's join those that raise their hand right now and pray with them the prayer that we all prayed one time in our life. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying for me.
Thank you for dying for us.
Thank you for living in me.
Thank you for living in us.
I know you went to the cross.
We know you went to the cross.
I know you died for me.
We know you died for you.
Paid for my sin. Forgive me.
Forgive us.
Forgive my sin.
Forgive our sins.
I know you rose from the dead. So I believe what you said.
So we believe in what you
said. I put my trust in you.
We put our trust in
I want to follow you.
We want to follow you.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill us with your Holy Spirit.
And help me to love people.
Help us love people.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's give the Lord a big clap.
Amen.
Hey, and I just remembered another mother. How about Mary? I'm thankful for Mary. I mean, she had a job changing God's diapers. I mean, think about it, you know. Trying to keep God from falling off the chair, breaking his neck, you know? How many times did she say, oh my God, and then realize, oh wait, it is my God, you know? Well, let's just stay seated, please, and then we're going to pass out the elements while we hear a song and contemplate what God has done in your life. And one more thing. And let God examine your hearts. Because as we taught in communion this year, communion's a special time of consecration. This is when we have the prayer of consecration. Lord, forgive my sins. Show me my sins. I want to be right with you. I want to break bread with the brethren. I want to break bread in the assembly. Take the cup, knowing that my conscience is clear. And we learn that He will sprinkle us clean. As we draw near to Him in full assurance of faith, He will sprinkle our consciences clean so that we can take communion and know we're right with God. So let's do that right now.